Today, sharing the Daf Yomi, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarak, we start a brand new Seder Noshim, with Masechta Yevamos, Dav Beis. Masechta Yevamos deals with the concept of Yibum. Yibum is a very interesting idea. L'hokim Shem B'yachiv, if a person, Rachmona Litzlan, dies without having any children, so the brother or brothers have an obligation to, one of them has to do Yibum, or today, Chalitza, with the widowed wife, even if that wife herself had children from someone else. But if she did not have children with the brother, in other words, the brother never had children from any wife at all, or if he did have children from that wife or a previous wife, those children aren't alive at the time of his death, and there's no other progeny, he doesn't have grandchildren or great-grandchildren. So then, if he has no children alive, either through his current wife or any previous wives, so then his widow falls to Yibum to one of the brothers. We'll see in the Masechta, she ideally should have Yibum done with the oldest brother that's alive. If not, it can be done with any of the other brothers. However, today, Lamaisa, we almost never do Yibum. What we do is Chalitza. She is considered a Zekuka Liyavim. She is considered falling in obligation to marry one of her dead husband's brothers, and he is known as the Yavim. If there's more than one, there is a zika, an attachment that she has to them. We'll discuss this more in the Masechta as we go along as well. And she is not allowed to get married. She is not able to go and get married lashuk, to go out into the market, so to say, and find another husband until she has chalitza done to her from one of her brothers. There are many, many ramifications and complications of this din, which the Masechta will deal with. But let us begin now with Daf Beis in Yevamos, Beis of Manalef, with the brand new Mishnah at the very top. Chomesh Esrei Noshim. There are 15 women. The Torah in Parshas Achrimos lists 21 arayos that a person is forbidden to marry. Six of them, if you're not able to marry them, your brother is also not able to marry them. However, the other 15, while they may be usher to you to marry, your brother would be able to marry them, as you'll see from this Mishnah. So our Mishnah starts off with dealing with 15 women, Chamesh Esrei Noshim, that are going to potentially fall to a person in Yibum. They are going to have been the wife of a person's dead brother, and when they fall to you, you are forbidden to go and marry them. They were the 15 arayas that applied to you but didn't apply to your brother. So in all of these situations, and again, if it's unclear at this point in time, we will go and explain this in great detail, both in today's share and as we go through the Masechta. So these 15 women are going to exempt the brother of the dead husband from doing Yibum or Chalitza. So these Chamesh Esrei Noshim, Potros Tsarosehen, they will exempt not only themselves, but if there's a co-wife. This is another interesting halacha that doesn't apply today since the days of Rabbeinu Gershom or Hagola, so he prohibited Ashkenazim from having a second wife. Amongst the Sephardic communities, there's still, even until recently and even today, there are those that possibly have more than one wife. But in the Ashkenazi communities, from the Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom or Hagola, so we no longer have this concept of having two wives at the same time. They're called tsaros to each other because they are antagonistic to each other. They are irritating to each other. That's why they're known as tsaros to each other. The situation of having co-wives is not a comfortable situation. And while the Torah allowed it, the Torah never necessarily recommended it. In any event, these 15 women that fell into Yibum but cannot have Yibum done because they are an erva, the araisa, to the brother that they would normally fall Yibum to. So this Yavam cannot do Yibum. If you don't have an obligation to do Yibum, then you usually don't have an obligation to do Chalitza on a Durabanu level. This may not always be true, but on a Daraisa level, if you can't do Yibum, then there's no need to do Chalitza. And when you can't do Yibum, it's also to do Yibum because there's a prohibition of Eishes Ach. Normally, under normal circumstances, a person's not allowed to marry if his brother passed away. You're not allowed to marry your sister-in-law, your brother's wife, if your brother had children. That's a Issa Daraisa known as Eishes Ach. And therefore, there would be a prohibition under normal circumstances to marry the dead brother's wife, except in the setting of Yibum. The Asay of doing Yibum pushes aside the lowest Asay of Eishes Ach. Again, we'll learn more about this in the Masechta as well. But if this wife of your dead brother falls to that person in Yibum, but you're not able to do Yibum because she's one of these 15 women, that it's an erva to you, one of the arayas to you, so then not only is she exempted from Yibum or Chalitza, but any other wives that the dead brother had are also exempted from Yibum and Chalitza. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah tells us. Chamesh Esrei Noshim Potros Tzoroseya. Not only is wife A exempted from Yibum Chalitza because she's an Erva, and one of the Arayas to that brother, and I should point out, it's only to that brother that would be exempting. If there's only one brother, and he's also to go and marry her, so then she goes off Lashuk. She goes out to be able to marry anybody she wants to. But if one brother can't do Yibum Chalitza, but another brother can, so then the Chiv of Yibum Chalitza still exists. In any event, in this situation, the co-wife, let's say this nice and simple case, there's Reuven and Shimon. Reuven passes away, and now Shimon would be the one, the Yavam, that would have to do Yibum Chalitza. But this woman, the wife of Reuven, cannot have Yibum or Chalitza done to her because she's also to Shimon. So then the co-wife, the second wife of Reuven, who is not also to Shimon, also doesn't have a din of Yibum Chalitza, and she goes off Lashuk. She's allowed to go marry. There is no further connection to Shimon, her dead husband's brother. I know this is a little bit complicated. Some of this is hard to picture. We'll see inside many diagrams in the art scroll, Gemaras that we'll refer to. Plus, I have a whole bunch of diagrams myself that I've done in previous years that Amir Tzashem will attach to the daf on the YU Torah online that you'll be able to look at and help to make the shears a little bit easier. So again, one more time. Chamesh Esrei Noshim Potros Tzoroseya, and these 15 women, when they're an erva, one of the arayas to the brother, again, Reuven passes away, his brother Shimon would be the Yavam. The wives of Reuven fall in Yibam to Shimon, but if there's an Isser arayas, that those wives cannot marry Shimon, so then the co-wives, where there is no Isser arayas, also would not be chayiv in Yibam Uchalitza, and in fact would not be allowed to have Yibam Uchalitza, are not allowed to marry because of the Isser of Eshesach, and would go free. And this continues, Vitzaros Tzorotseyim. This will continue. Let's say there were three brothers here, and you can see this in the art scroll diagram, for those that have the art scroll, next to footnote number 3, where you have, there were three brothers. You had Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Now, Reuven is the one who passes away, and he had two wives, Rachel and Leah. Now, Rachel is one of those 15 women that would be also to have Yibum Mechalitza done with Shimon. But there is no problem, however, with Levi marrying her. So Levi does Yibum Mechalitza to either Rachel or Leah, the wives of Reuven. Let's say he does it to the Tzara of Rachel, which is Leah. Leah, in this situation, now falls Yibum to Levi. There is no Isser over there with either of them. And he takes the co-wife of the Erva to Shimon. So Levi now goes and marries Leah. And he already had another wife, Miriam. So you have Levi married now through Yibum to Leah and previously married to Miriam. He has two wives now. And then Nebuch Levi passes away. And then both Leah and Miriam fall in Yibum to Shimon. So Miriam would have a problem. There was only Miriam in the picture. Miriam would undergo normal Yibum with Shimon. However, Levi was already forbidden to marry Shimon as the Tzara of Rachel, who was the Erva to Shimon. And again, if this is a little bit hard to follow, please look in the diagram. So now, Levi is Tzaros Tzorosehen to Miriam, and therefore, Miriam also in this situation, as well as, of course, Leah, do not fall Yibum to Shimon, and as a result, there is no mitzvah of Yibum over here, and it would be, in fact, also for Leah or Miriam to go and marry Shimon because of the Isser of Eishes Ach. So one more time, we'll read the Mishnah. Chamesh Esrei Noshim, these 15 women, Potros Tzoroseyin, so when they fall, Reuven passes away, and his wives fall to Shimon, his brother. So those women, because of the first wife of Reuven being an Erva to Shimon, so then the co-wife, the Tzara of Reuven, also doesn't fall to Shimon. And as well, Vitzaros Tzoroseyin, if they in fact did have Yibam with Levi, a second brother, and then ultimately Levi dies, so then there's still Osir to Shimon, and then not only is the wife that fell to Levi, but any other wives that Levi had, they're also going to be Potter, min ha-chalitza u-min ha-yibam. There will be no Yibam or Chalitza allowed in this situation. Ad Sofa Olam. Ad Sofa Olam means over here, the Gemara will explain this, that let's say there was a Yehuda, another brother, and then there was a Yisachar, another brother, and a Zvulun, another brother. And the same thing happened. Each time a woman who had been forbidden to marry Shimon now is taken in Yibum, or the co-wife is taken. And then Subsequently, that continues multiple times. So imagine the same case that we had with Rabbi Shimon and Levi. Imagine that there's also Yehuda after Levi dies that does Yibam. And then there's, after Yehuda dies, a Yisachar that does Yibam. And Viter, and Viter. It could go Ad Sof Olam Kulo. As long as it was a co-wife of a co-wife of a co-wife of a co-wife of the original Erva to Shimon, then Shimon would never be allowed to do Yibam or Chalitza. And in fact, that woman, all the way at Sofa Olam, would be Mutter Lashuk. She wouldn't be allowed to have Yibam or Chalitza done with Shimon. I know that's a little bit complicated again, but you'll get the hang of Mitzvah Shem of this Masechta as we go through it. A lot of marital relationships that we have to deal with. Now, by the way, the Tosfos Yeshanim over here, the Tosfos Yeshanim is one of the major Rishonim on the Daf, so the Tosfos Yeshanim over here says, what in the world is Yavamos doing in the order right after Seder Moed? And he asks a couple of questions. He says, Yesh Makshim, the top Tosfos Yeshanim, says, there are those that ask, am I Maskil Seder Noshim Yavamos? Why do we start off with Yavamos? A, it's very hard. And B, why didn't we start off? We shouldn't have started off with something that involves death. Obviously, you only have Yibam if Nebuch, one of the brothers, dies. The Adiraba, Tosfos Yeshanim says, Hayalonu lahaskil kiddushin uksuvos v'gittin v'yarekach yivamos. He said you should start off with marriage, regular marriage, kiddushin, and then you can have the dinim of ksuba, and then rachmon al-san, there could be a get, and then, and only afterwards, do you deal with if there's a death. So in the proper order of things, why is yivamos the first mesechta? We shouldn't want to start off with a negative thing, with a paronus. So he answers, v'nira, mishum tichsiv, now this is a famous pasuk in the Manik for the sixth Sidri Mishnah. Yomru itecha zeh seder moed. So the second word in the pasuk is itecha. So that's a reference to seder moed, which comes after seder zroyim. And chosen, that's the third word in the pasuk, zeh seder nashim. So this is the order for the sixth Sidri Mishnah. The im kain seder nashim hu baser seder moed. So therefore, we learn from this pasuk, the order of the sixth Sidri Mishnah that Rebbe set up, and therefore Noshim comes after Moed. Now you remember we had brought down when we were learning Moed, Katan, and Chagiga, there is a difference of opinion as to which is the last Masechta. In the Daf Yomi cycle, Chagiga is the last Masechta. However, there is an opinion that says Moed Katan actually is the last Masechta. According to this opinion that Moed Katan is the last Masechta and Seder Moed, so therefore, Im Kain, Seder Noshim, Hu Basar, Seder Moed, the Messiah, the Masechtas Moed Katan, and therefore, Masechtas Moed Katan, the heavy Perunusa, that deals a lot with unfortunate Avelus at the end of Moed Katan, and therefore, Lekach Hiskul, Seder Noshim, the Masechtas Yevomos, Umasmich Paranusa LeParanusa. We're on the subject of Paranus, so we continue on the subject of Paranus. And that's the connection between Seder Moed, and specifically the last Masechta, according to this version, is Moed Katan, not Hagiga, and it connects to Yevamos, which deals with the Paranus, the same thing as well. Kedamina Perek HaShutvin, the Masmich Molochim, the Sofe Paranus, Limiryo, the Kule Paranus. And that's why you end off with Molochim, which deals with Nebuch, the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and you go straight into Yirmiyo from there, which is Kula Paranus, according to the order that Yirmiyo was next. That's the first teretz that the Tosfos Yeshanim gives. Then he says, Inami Mefarish Tchila Eze Isha Asura, the Eze Isha Muteris. Before you can talk about marriage, you have to talk about who is permitted for you to marry and who is not permitted for you to marry. V'had Mefarish Kula Mila Dinoshim. And then, after you go through the 15 arayas over here, really 21 arayas that are mentioned in Achrei Mos, so then the Tosfos Yeshanim says, then we can get into the details of marriage, of Kiddushin, etc. Furthermore, the third, final answer that he gives, Vodi Yishlomar, Bishum Dihi Mitzvah Rishona, She'ira Binoshim. This is the first mitzvah in the Torah that's mentioned by women. Kedirsid, Batomer. It says by Tomer, when Yehuda took her in Yibam, it says, Bo'el Eishes Ochicha V'yabei Mosa. So this idea where Yehuda and Tomer, the concept of Yibam, so this is the first mention of such a mitzvah for women, so that's why Yevamos starts off Seder Noshim. Okay, back to our Gemara. We're now going to list these 15 women that are forbidden, if Rachman al-Aslan, they were married to Ruvain, and Ruvain dies, they're forbidden to marry Shimon through Yibam because they are an erva, one of the arayas to Shimon. What are these 15? They're in groups of three. So Elaine, the first three are as follows. Bito, his daughter. What are we referring to? Referring here that Shimon had a daughter outside of marriage. That's the way Rashi understands. It says it could be through marriage or not through marriage. We'll learn simple like Rashi, and that is that Shimon, again, we're dealing with two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon are brothers from the father. Yibam only occurs where there's two brothers from the father. Obviously, if they have the same mother as well, they're still a din of Yibam. But if they're only half-brothers, so only if they're half-brothers from the father is there a mitzvah of Yibam. Otherwise, if they're half-brothers through their mother, so then there is no mitzvah of Yibam, and the Isser of Eishes Ach would apply. This is based upon Pusukim, which we'll learn as we go through the Masechta. So now, again, our two brothers are Reuven and Shimon. They're brothers from the father, and Shimon has a daughter out of marriage. And this daughter marries Reuven. So Reuven now is married to his niece, albeit it's a niece not through marriage. And Nebuch Reuven passes away, so his wife, this girl who's the niece, falls to her father now, Shimon, in Yibam. So obviously, it's Osir, besides the Isser of Eishes Ach, there's an Isser over here of you're not allowed to have relations with your daughter, so therefore, she's one of the Arias to Shimon as his daughter, and therefore, both she and any co-wives that Reuven had are also to do Yibam. There is no mitzvah of Yibam, therefore there's also no mitzvah of Chalitza, since it's a din d'oraisa, and it's also, in fact, for Shimon to marry the co-wife, certainly it's also for him to marry his daughter. So that's the first example of one of the 15 Arias. So that's with Bito, and the same thing applies with Bas Bito, Ubas Beno. The same thing would apply if it was Shimon's granddaughter, either through his son or through his daughter, that Reuven married. So Reuven married his great-niece. He married Shimon's granddaughter either through the son or through the daughter. And then Nebuch Reuven passes away. So then Shimon would not be allowed to go and marry his granddaughter through Yibam. And likewise, if Reuven had any other wives, the Tzaros would also be forbidden to Shimon because the Isser of Eishes Ach takes effect still over here because the Tzora was an Erva. Those are the first three, and hopefully people are getting familiar now with the pattern that we're dealing with. The next three are as follows. Bas Ishto. Shimon has a wife. Reuven and Shimon again are brothers. Shimon has a wife, and that wife had a daughter from a previous marriage. And Reuven, Shimon's brother, goes and marries that daughter. And then Nebuch Reuven passes away. So then Bas Ishto of Shimon falls to Minyibum. That's an Erva, and therefore he can't have relations with Bas Ishto. And the same thing would apply with his wife's Bas Binah or Ubas Bita. If his wife had a son or a daughter, and they then had a child. So it would be Shimon's wife's granddaughter. And Reuven married Shimon's wife's granddaughter. So therefore, in this situation, when Reuven Nebuch passes away, so the granddaughter of Shimon's wife falls to him in Yibam. That's one of the Arayas. He can't marry her through Yibam, and therefore the co-wives of Reuven likewise are forbidden to be taken in Yibam, and they go out Lashok. There is no Chiyav over here of Yibam or Chalitza. That's the next three. Then we go Chamoso, similar idea. Shimon has a mother-in-law. She was originally married to somebody else, obviously his father-in-law. Either the father-in-law divorced her or the father-in-law died. And now Shimon's mother-in-law goes and marries Shimon's brother, Reuven. Somewhat of an unusual likelihood, but these cases aren't always going to be practical cases. They're teaching us concepts. So Reuven marries his brother's mother-in-law. And then Nebuch Reuven passes away. So then his wife, Shimon's mother-in-law, falls to Ben Yibam. You're obviously not allowed to marry your mother-in-law. Even if a person's wife with a Rahman Islam passed away, that is one of the Arayas that stays permanently. All the Arayas stay permanently. The one exception to the Arayas staying permanently is a wife's sister. A wife's sister is also to somebody during the wife's lifetime. But Rahman Islam, if the wife passes away, so then this is the only Erva that goes away. The wife's sister, after the wife passes away, one would be permitted to marry the sister. In fact, we had cases just recently in the Gemara where Nebuch, a person's wife passed away, and he had a lot of little children. So we said, at the funeral, so to say, he took his sister-in-law, his wife, his Nebuch, his dead wife's sister, he took her in as his wife in order that she would be the best mother to the children. In any event, in our case, back to our case, the Chamoso, Shimon's mother-in-law fell to him in Yibam, so he can't obviously marry her, and likewise, any co-wives would be forbidden in Yibam Chalitza. And not only his mother-in-law, even stranger, if Reuven, the brother of Shimon, married the mother-in-law's mother, or the father-in-law's mother, Aim Chamoso, the Aim Chomiv. All of these three women, the Chamoso, the Aim Chamoso, the Aim Chomiv, if they fell in Yibam to Shimon, would all be forbidden to Shimon, and likewise their co-wives, any other co-wives that Reuven had, would be forbidden to Shimon in Yibam and Chalitza. Now we go to the next set. Achoso Me'imo. And here you can see a diagram of this, if it's difficult to follow along without a diagram, next to footnote number 10. And we're dealing over here with Reuven and Shimon are brothers, but they're only half-brothers. They have the same father, but they have different mothers. So Reuven has one mother, and Shimon has a different mother. With that mother of Shimon, there was a father and a half-sister. Let's call this Sarah. So Sarah, in this situation, is the half-sister of Shimon through the mother, has no relation at all to Shimon's brother through the father, Reuven, and Reuven marries her. Reuven marries his half-brother's half-sister. So we have, again, Reuven and Shimon have the same father, Shimon and Sarah have the same mother, and Reuven ends up marrying Sarah. No relation to Reuven, perfectly good marriage. And then Nebuch Reuven passes away. So in this situation, Reuven's wife, Sarah, falls in Yibam to her half-brother, Shimon. She is Achoso, his sister, Meimo, maternally. Only a half-sister, but a sister is still Aser. And that's why, in this situation, Sarah, or any co-wives of Reuven, in addition to Sarah, would not fall in Yibam to Shimon. Similarly, if you had the Achos Imo, if, again, the same scenario, you have these two half-brothers, Reuven and Shimon, they have the same father, but they have different mothers. Now, Shimon, his mother, has a sister. So Shimon's aunt, his maternal aunt, that maternal aunt goes and marries Reuven, his half-brother. Again, there's no problem with Reuven marrying Shimon's maternal aunt because they're only half-brothers through the father. And then Nebuch Reuven passes away. So then Shimon has his aunt, his maternal aunt, falling to him. You're not allowed to marry your aunt. She's one of the Arayas. So therefore, this maternal aunt and any other co-wives that Reuven had with his Shimon's maternal aunt are going to be forbidden in Yibam to Shimon. And finally, the last in this group is Vachos Ishto. Similarly, if his wife had a sister, Shimon gets married and he has a sister-in-law, his wife's sister. And that wife's sister goes and marries his brother, Reuven. And then Nebuch, Reuven passes away. So again, Reuven's wife, which is his wife, Shimon's wife's sister, now falls into Yibam. He's married to her sister. So that, you're not allowed to marry both of them at the same time. So therefore, that sister of his wife, as well as any other co-wives of Reuven, don't fall in Yibam. That's the next group. Then we go to the last three. The Eshes Ochiv Me'imo. Here you can see a diagram of this on the bottom of footnote number 13. So again, you have Reuven, Shimon, and here we have a third brother. Reuven and Shimon have the same father. They're half-brothers, but they have different mothers. And Shimon and Levi are half-brothers only through the mother. So again, Reuven and Levi are not at all related to each other. Reuven and Shimon are half-brothers through the father, and Shimon and Levi are half-brothers through the mother. Now, Levi, Shimon's half-brother through the mother, marries a woman. We'll call her Sarah. They either get divorced, or Levi dies, and Sarah then goes and marries Reuven, the half-brother of Shimon, through the father. There's no problem with that. Reuven and Levi aren't at all related. So this is a regular woman who was either divorced or widowed, and Reuven marries her. So Reuven marries the ex-wife of Levi, who is Shimon's half-brother through the mother, Eshes Ochiv Me'imo. She was the wife of his maternal brother. Fine. She's married now to Shimon's half-brother, Reuven, through the father. And then Nebuch Reuven passes away. So now we have the scenario that Sarah falls in Yibam to Shimon. But she's Eshes Ochiv Me'imo. She was his brother, his half-brother, maternal half-brother, the wife of his maternal half-brother. The Isser of Eshes Ach remains even after death, even if Levi had passed away. And therefore, she doesn't fall in Yibam to Shimon. And any other co-wives of Reuven as well don't fall in Yibam to Shimon. We turn now to Beis Amid Beis, and we go to the last two cases. The Eshes Ochiv Shelo Hayabi Olamo. This introduces another din, that when we have the din of Yibam, they have to be the Eshu Achim Yachdav. The brothers have to be alive at the same time. So normally, in the most circumstances, the brothers are somewhat closer in age, so therefore it's very unlikely that a brother will be married and will have a brother not yet born. But of course it does happen. So Reuven is the oldest son, and he gets married, and he has a wife, but he has a brother, Shimon, he has a brother, Levi, but eventually he has a brother, Binyamin. This brother, Binyamin, is born only after Reuven dies. So you have an unusual situation where Reuven and his brother were never in the world at the same time. You don't have the fulfillment of Ki Eshu Achim Yachdav. They never were alive at the same time. So in this situation, Binyamin would be also to go and marry Reuven's wife. If Reuven didn't have children, and Binyamin is born before this woman had Yibam or Chalitza, it would be forbidden for Binyamin to be the one to do Yibam or Chalitza. Now, if one of the other brothers, let's say Shimon, did Yibam with Reuven's wife, so Shimon now is married to Reuven's widow through Yibam, and now Binyamin is born, he's alive, and then Nebuch Shimon passes away, so normal circumstances, we would say that Shimon, all of his wives were for Yibam to Binyamin and to the other brothers. Let's say all the other brothers aren't around. There's only Binyamin. But since Binyamin wasn't alive when Reuven's wife had Yibam done with her with Shimon, so she's Eishes Ach, that's also, it's not B'moko Mitzvah, because Binyamin wasn't allowed to do Yibam. And this is the scenario of Eishes Ach of Shlo Yibay Alamo. If now Shimon passes away, so that original wife of Reuven that went through Yibam to Shimon is also to Binyamin, and as well any other co-wives of Shimon would be also to Binyamin. And therefore, this is the 14th case in the Mishnah, Eishes Achiv Shlo Yehoi Bilomo. And finally, the last one that the Mishnah mentions is Kaloso. This is his daughter-in-law. Where do we see Kaloso? So again, there's a diagram in the art scroll on footnote number 2, where you see, again, Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Reuven marries Shimon's son's wife. Shimon had a son. So that son got married to Rachel. Either that son died or divorced Rachel. Reuven's allowed to go marry his nephew's wife. So no Isser over there. Now, Reuven is married to Shimon's former daughter-in-law. And then Nebuch Reuven passes away. In this situation, the former daughter-in-law, Rachel, falls now to Shimon in Yibam. But that's his daughter-in-law, former daughter-in-law. Doesn't make any difference whether Shimon's son is alive or not. You're never allowed to marry your daughter-in-law. And therefore, Reuven's marriage to Rachel, the former daughter-in-law of Shimon, so Reuven was allowed to marry her, but now when Reuven passes away and Rachel falls in Yibam to Shimon, there's an Isser of Kaloso, and both that daughter-in-law, Rachel, as well as any other wives that Reuven had, the tzaros of the Erva, are forbidden in Yibam and Chalitza. So these are the 15 cases we have in our Mishnah. The Gemara later on will actually mention a 16th case, and we'll get to that in a couple of days. For now, these are the famous Chamesh Esrei Noshim that were permitted to one brother, but then if that brother passes away, so they're going to be forbidden as an Arayus, one of the Arayus, to do Yibam with the remaining brother. And that's what the Mishnah tells us again. Hare Elu Potros, all of these women, they're Potro themselves, as well as Soroseyan, their own co-wives that they have right now, and if they were to get married down the line to the Levi, the Yehuda, Yisachar, Zevulun, the other brothers that were permitted to them. Again, this Isser of the Chamesh Esrei Noshim is only to the brother that it's forbidden to. If there are other brothers, they must have Yibam or Chalitza done to them. So in these situations where that wife had Yibam with one of the other brothers, and so on and so on and so on, at Sofa Olam, Bitzorot Soroseyan, they're all Potro min Chalitza, min HaYibam, there is no obligation for Yibam, on a derice level, so then there usually is no obligation of chalitza at all as well. Ad sof ha'olam. This continues, as I said, for all the potential additional brothers down the line. The chulon, however, the Mishnah tells us, in mesu o mianu o nisgarshu, o shenimtsu ilanis, if all of these 15 women, the marriage terminated before the death of Reuven, we'll see in a moment exactly what this means. So all of these 15 women that we said would be arayas to Shimon, they were allowed to marry Reuven, but they would be arayas to his brother Shimon. So this concept that they're potter themselves from Yibam, as well as all of their tzaros, this only is if they're still married to Reuven at the time of Reuven's death. But if one of these 15 women, who is an erva to Shimon, was no longer married to Reuven at the time of Reuven's death, either they died, Hulun Amesu, Nebuch they died, O Mianu, they were doing the din of Mion. Mion is a unique din. It's applicable only under certain select situations, such as Rahman al-Islam, a young girl, her father passes away, and the mother and the brothers can't support her, so they can marry her off midirabbanan. And this woman, this young girl, has the right to just leave that marriage at any point in time before she reaches the age of godless, before she becomes a gedola. The Gemara discusses exactly what that is. And before that period of time, she's able to just walk away from that marriage through a process called miyun. I refuse to stay married to him. She doesn't require a get. She's totally able to just walk away from that marriage. So if the situation was that one of these Arayas to Shimon was married to Reuven through a rabbanan marriage, from either the father having passed away and the mother and the older brothers married her off, or in a situation where the father actually is still alive and the father married her off to someone, and that's a marriage d'oraisa, and then that husband divorced that woman, so then the father would be allowed to also marry her again. That's called the yesoma b'chayi aviha, and the father would be allowed to marry her off as well, midirabanan, to a second husband. In any event, this young girl walks away from the marriage to Reuven through the process of miyun. So therefore, she's no longer married to Reuven at the time of Reuven's death. Or in this case, Reuven divorced her. So she once was his wife, but no longer is his wife. Or the situation, she nimtzu eilenis. It turned out that she was incapable of having children. Eilenis is eil-like, man-like, like a ram-like. And therefore, she is incapable of having children. The whole purpose of Yibum is l'hokim shem be'achiv, to set up a name of a child, so to say, on behalf of the dead brother. So if that physically can't be done, so then there is no mitzvah of Yibam in that situation. So if this wife of Reuven, that would be an erva to Shimon, had any one of these four conditions, either she died, or she did miyun, or she was divorced, or it turns out that she's incapable of having children, she's an islandess, then soroseyen mutaros. Then the co-wives of that woman, they're not married anymore, so they're no longer co-wives, but they once were co-wives. But all those co-wives of Reuven that aren't an erva to Shimon, but if the erva had still been married to Reuven, the co-wife goes off, here in this situation, that marriage is no longer extant. So the erva is no longer married to Reuven, so then Reuven's other wives do in fact fall yibam to Shimon. That's what it means, tsarasei mutaros. They do fall yibam, you do either yibam or chalitza. By the way, the mission tells us that you can't have some of these scenarios, miyun or nimtza eilenis, in the case of the three mother-in-law or great-mother-in-law cases. Bechamoso, bein chamoso, the mother-in-law, or the mother of the mother-in-law, or the mother of the father-in-law, bein chomim. That's impossible, shenimtza eilenis, because they obviously had a child. So that was the wife of Shimon. So they obviously had a granddaughter that was the wife of Shimon, so they certainly weren't an eilenis. And obviously, Oshemianu, they couldn't have done miyun because they obviously were gedolim at that point in time, and therefore they could not have been capable of doing miyun. Miyun is only done when they still are not yet a gedolim. So that's an incidental thing that would apply only to the other 12 cases in the Mishnah, but not to those three. Rashi points out, and this I already alluded to, the Yisoma B'chai Aviyah, this is Rashi Dira Maslow Khulun Shemesu, in the second line of that Dira Maslow. How could you possibly say that Bito could have left the marriage via Mion? Because if the father is alive, Hare Hu Kayam, Vehe Mion, Elabiyasoma. You only have Mion under normal circumstances if the father passed away and the mother or the older brothers married her off. So how could you talk about Mion if the father's still alive? So that's what I said. That the father married off the rights to somebody else. Vinis Garsha, that person divorced her. Kishi Ketana, even while she was a Ketana. So therefore, that divorce is a valid divorce. She's still a Ketana, and the father is not allowed to marry her off the Araisa, but the father could marry her off Midr Rabbanon, just like the mother could marry her off, or the older brothers could marry her off Midr Rabbanon, so too could the father. And in this situation, Shuv Ein Luavir, Rishuz Ba, to marry her off the Araisa, but he married her off on a Durabana level and the Yotzabiyim, and then she left with Mion. So this could happen even in the case of Bito. Now the mission continues and says, Ketzad Potros Tzorosayen. So under what circumstances, I've already explained this, would the Tzora also go out? Hoysa Bito, if his daughter, or Achas Mikol Arayas Elu, or any of the other 14 women that we mentioned, or Nesuos Liochiv, any one of those 15 women is married to Reuven, Shimon's brother, and Vilo Isha Cheres, and Reuven has a second wife, Umeis, and then Reuven dies. So again, the Erva, as well as the non-Erva, Tzora, both fall to Shimon. So Kishem Shabita Matura, just like his daughter, or any of the other 14 Arayas are forbidden to have Yibam with the father or the Bito, the father Shimon, or any other Arayas with their relationship to Shimon being Aser, so too, Kach Tzorosa Petura, so too are the Tzoros of Reuven, the other wives of Reuven, forbidden to do Yibam or Chalitza. And again, if you can't do Yibam or Chalitza, then it's forbidden because of the Isser of Eshesach is still around. The Isser of Eshesach only goes away when there's a mitzvah of Yibam. And then we said, the Tzor was saying, so Holcha Tzor has Bito, but he says L'Ochav HaSheni. So this only applied if Shimon couldn't marry her. But what happens if Reuven's other wife, not the Erevet to Shimon, but the non-Erevet to Shimon, and obviously both of them don't fall to Shimon, but there was another brother, Levi. So they fell to Levi. And the co-wife of the Erevah had fallen in Yibam to Levi, and he did Yibam with her. Holcha Tzor has Bito, V'nisis L'Ochav HaSheni. So the tzara of, we'll use the example of Bito, that's what the Mishnah uses, the tzara of the Bito of Shimon went and underwent Yibam with Levi, Venisis Liochav Hasheni, and then the Lo Yishacheres, and Levi has another wife. So now you have the tzara of the Bito, who's married now to Levi through Yibam, and Levi has another wife, so then Levi passes away, Umeis. In this situation, Kishem Shetzara's Bito Betura, just like the tzara of the Bito of Shimon, is also to fall Yibam to Shimon now. Levi dies, so they fall again to Shimon. So too, Kach Tzoras Tzorasa. So to the other wife of Levi, the Tzoras Tzorasa is also Ptura from doing Yibam or Chalitza. We mentioned this before, and here we mention it again. And as we said, this goes at Sofa Olam, which the Mishnah says, Afilu Hemeya, even if there are 100 brothers. So after Levi, the same thing happens with Yehuda, the same thing happens with Yisachar, Zavulun, Dan Naphtali, Gad V'Yosher, Yosef, Binyamin, and up to 100, even more. So then, this din of Tzoras Tzoroseyan always applies. Now the Mishnah explains the other thing that we had already discussed before and explained outside. Ketzad Imesu, when we had the case of the wife who's the Erevah, the wife of Reuven, who is the Erevah to Shimon. If she said, if she dies, oh, Imienu, oh, Niskarshu, oh, Shnimtsu Ailidis. So what is that exact case? Ketzad Imesu, if they died, or the others, Tzoroseh Mutaros, then in fact the other wife of Reuven would fall Yibam Chalitza. So that's Haisa Bito. Again, we use the example of Bito, or Achaz Mikola Rais, or any of the other 14, Ha'elu, Nisuas Liachiv. If any of these women were married to Reuven, and below Isha Cheris, and Reuven had another wife, and then Mesa Bito, and then the wife died. Again, we use the example of Bito, but it would be any of the other 14 Arais as well. Either she died, or Niskarisha, she was divorced, and it doesn't mention it, but the same thing would apply for Mian, O Nimsu Islandis, in all of these situations. Only after that, V'achakach Mesoch, but only after that did Reuven die, so at the time of Reuven's death, he was not married to the Erevah. So then, Tzoras Muteris, then the other wife, the Tzara, is in fact obligated and falls in Yibam to Shimon. And he can do either Yibam or Chalitza. And finally, the Mishnah ends, V'chali cholu l'moin v'lo miyana. In this situation, where there was a second wife to Reuven, this is the Erevah, and she could have done Miyun. She's still a Ketana, but she hasn't yet done Miyun. So they're only married under the Rabbanan level. So here, in this situation, she could have done Miyun, but she hadn't. So then, the Tzarasa is obligated on a Daraisa level to fall in Yibam, but can't because there's a Rabbanan reason not to. So here, Tzarasa Cholet says, here you can't say, well, there's no Yibam, so therefore there's no Chalitza. Here, there is a din of Yibam, except Midirabbanan. We don't allow that Yibam to take effect because it's a Tzaras Erva Midirabbanan. She could have done Miyun, but she didn't, but that's only the Rabbanan marriage. So then, we require Chalitza to the Tzara, albeit we don't allow Yibam because there's an Issur D'Rabbanan. That's a very difficult first Mishnah in the Masechta, and let's go a little bit weiter now. Where it says, Michti, let's understand this. Kulu Me'achos Isha Yafinan. All of these are learned out, the din of all of these being an Erva are learned out, and you're not allowed to do Yibam with them from Achos Isha. That's the derivation of all of this, is learned out from Achos Isha, from the wife's sister. So why don't we list that one first? Why did we start off the Mishnah listing Bito first? You should have listed Achos Isha first. List the Achos Isha Vareisha. So the Gemara says, okay, you want to tell me they had a different reason for listing the case of Bito first? Because V'chitema Tana Chumrei Chumrei Nokad, he wanted to list the most strict one first, and Bito is the most strict one if you go like Rabbi Yishimon. For Rabbi Shimon, our Mishnah is in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. There's a famous machlokis as to whether skila or Srefa is stricter. So we go like the Chachamim that skila is stricter than Srefa. But Rabbi Shimon holds that Srefa is a stricter Misa, a worse Misa, that a harsher Misha than skila. So therefore our Mishnah says that we list the Bito first because that's Srefa. Rabbi Shimon, he do my Srefa Chamura. And that's why our Mishnah lists the most severe, strictest one first. If that were the case, Yachi, list Nechamosa Bereisha. So then they should have listed the first category, not Bito, they should have listed his mother-in-law. Why? The Ika Sreifa Bechamosa Ksiva, because we learn out the whole din of Sreifa from the mother-in-law, and we learn out the daughter from the mother-in-law case. And therefore, if you're going it based upon severity, so then you should have listed Chamoso and Aim Chomov. Those should have been the first three that have been listed, not Bito. But furthermore, Bosa Chamoso listed Chaloso. So then, even if you wanted to list Chamoso first, then you should have listed Chaloso, his daughter-in-law, next, because the Bosa Sreifa Skila Chamura. Because after you went through the Sreifa ones, then the next one should have listed would be the Skila one, which would have been his daughter-in-law, Kalosso. That's an Issur of Skila. And then only afterwards would you list the other Arayis that we have in the Mishnah, which are an Issur of Karis. Now, Karis is a very strict severity, but it's not up there with Mises Basedin. So therefore, if you're going by order of severity, you should have listed first Chamoso, and only afterwards Bito, the Issur of Sreifa. Then you should have listed Kalosso, the Issur of Skila, and only afterwards the other Arayis, which are Karis. But you didn't do it this way. So therefore, that can't explain the reasoning of our Mishnah. So Gemara says, you're right. Ella Bito, why do we start off with Bito? Kiven the Asir Midrasha. Since we learn out the Isser of Yibam through a Drasha over here, so this one is Chavivullah. This is very dear to us. Now, we turn to Gimel Amud Aleph. We made it through Baruch Hashem, the first daf in Yivamos. It will get better. And the Gemara says, all of them are Drashas. Kulu Nami Midrash Asu. All of them are learned out through Drashos. As the top Rashi tells us, Le'inyan Potter Yibum Midrasha Asun Me'achosisha. This concept that they're all Potter from Yibum, not that they're Arayas, that's stated Beferish. But the fact that they're Potter from Yibum, that's all learned out from the Drasha, from Achosisha. So Kulunami Midrasha Asu, so why are you telling me that this is the order? So the Gemara says, Nu Nihi, Le'inyan Yibum Asu Midrasha. You're right. The Isser of Yibum, that's only learned out through Drasha for all of them. However, Ikar Isurayu, their actual prohibition as an erva, Behedyuk Simbu, that's listed specifically. But Bito, again, this is Bito Me'anusasu, according to Rashi, his daughter out of wedlock, Ikar Isura Midrasha, that's only known through a famous Gzerushava, which we'll see in a second. So that is a whole Drasha, Ikar Isura Midrasha, and therefore it's Chaviv, and that's why it's listed first. What is this Gzerushava? The Amar Rava, Amar Li, Rav Yitzchak Bar Abdimi. Rava said that Rav Yitzchak Bar Abdimi taught me this famous Gzerushava, Asya Heina Heina, Asya Zima Zima. It's a double Gzerushava. We had this not too long ago, and this double Gzerushava teaches us, based upon the pasuk where it says, Ervas Isho Bito, Lo Sigala, as Bas Minovi, as Bas Bito, Lo Tzikach, Ligalos Ervaso, Shara Heina, Zima here. So we have Heina and Zima in this pasuk. Now, this tells us that it's forbidden to have relations with your daughter or your granddaughter of your wife. And it doesn't make any difference that it's not your own daughter or granddaughter, it's your wife's daughter or granddaughter. But it doesn't tell us about your own illegitimate daughter that you had. It tells us about your daughter's daughter. So if you had a daughter out of wedlock, so then her children, if you had a son out of wedlock, his daughter, so then the granddaughter from either your illegitimate daughter or your son, so those are forbidden to you as well. But it doesn't tell us that the daughter herself is Isser. That we learn out through Gzei Rishava. And that is the Gzei Rishava of Heina Heina. And then we have the Gzei Rishava of Zima Zima. That's how we know that there's an Isser of Sreifa. And that we learn out, the Ish Asher Yikach Es Isha Ves Ima Zima Hi Ba'esh Yisrifu Oson V'Eshen. So therefore, that's how we learn out the Isser of Sreifa. So through this double Gzei Rishava of Heina Heina, we learn out that your illegitimate daughter is also Asher to you. And as well, we learn out that Zima Zima, that it's an Isser of Sreifa, and that's why this is all a total drasha, and that's why we start off with Bito, Bito Me'anu Soso. That's the way Rashi understands this. Gemara says one last time, Hashna the Amis Komilso, the Asami Drasha Chavivala. So now that you're telling me that, oh, we want to start off with the drasha, so then listen La Achos Isha Lubisov. So then Achos Isha, which is where we learn out the paradigm for all these other 14, that should have been listed at the end. And the Gemara says, no, Aidi, the Irib Isra Achvasa, since we have to talk about the other two sisters. Then we talk about his wife's sister as well, even though that's learned out directly. So where it says, so then even though you have to learn it out, so don't list it as early as we did in the Mishnah. Learn it out at the very end of the Mishnah. Listen to Lahai Baba, let the relationships of the sisters, that should be the last Baba, that should be the last group of three, not as early as we did in the Mishnah. But Lestai Lahai Baba Lubasof. So Gemara says, Yotaka, right. And then tomorrow, we're going to learn, we'll stop the shiur over here today, and tomorrow we're going to learn the reason why the Tanava Mishnah listed the 15 Arayas in the order that he did. This was Kol Haskalos Koshos. This is a perfect example of it's always hard at the beginning, but Be'ezus Hashem, you're going to love it. You've almost, it's a very interesting Masechta. On the level that we're learning it, it's actually not as difficult. The whole difficulty really is understanding the cases, and we will have a lot of diagrams in Be'ezus Hashem, both in the art scroll and the ones that I've made up on my own, to help us get through the cases. And once you figure out the cases, the rest of it actually is not that difficult once you know all the principles of Yibam, which we'll learn as we go through this beautiful Masechta. With that, we conclude the first year in Seder Noshim and in Maseches Yevamos.